Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluel, and on today's show, we're throwing away all of the rules as we talk sports and politics with our guest. In a more specific sense, we'll be talking with him about his amazing career in politics, his time spent working with our current president, Donald Trump, plus some Boston Red Sox baseball and New England Patriots football. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest, and by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Now, before we actually begin the interview, I'd like to set the record straight and clear the air for just a moment. Today's podcast and today's guest both do not represent any kind of endorsement on my part. I mean, this podcast is not, nor will it ever be, some sort of political forum where people go back and forth and argue about certain topics. That's not the goal of today's show. The goal instead is to welcome a good guy on, someone who has many stories to tell, and someone who also likes sports. So again, I encourage you to not take this podcast, nor my guest, the wrong way. Listen to what we have to say and our conversation, and enjoy this interview. It's now time for our special guest. He began his career in politics in the late 1990s, working on the election campaign of Republican Congressman Mike Pappas. By 2000, he transitioned his focus to public affairs, serving as the communications director on the House Government Reform Committee. After stints with the House Budget Committee and the RNC, he was named the press secretary for President Donald Trump in 2016. Today, he's a senior advisor at America First Action PAC and a commander in the U.S. Navy Reserve. Please welcome Sean Spicer to the show. Sean, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, Sean, after reading through your bio and taking a look at all of the stops that you've made during your career in politics, how have you risen from simply a staffer on a congressional campaign to eventually press secretary for the president? I mean, to sustain such a meteoric rise like you have, it's extremely impressive to say the least. How'd you end up making it happen?
Thank you. I think there's a lot of timing and luck, and then just a little bit of tenacity in there. I found a calling and a passion in politics, and it's not a very lucrative industry. And so when a lot of my colleagues and contemporaries kind of went on to either consulting or K Street or an association job or corporate world, I stayed in it. And I think that, you know, the longer you stay in it, the greater opportunities there are in politics to move up. And I sort of found myself in the right place at the right time with President Trump, because there weren't a ton of, the establishment that was part of that was willing to be part of the team. And so when he won, and a lot of people really had written off the campaign, there weren't a lot of us that had been with him during the campaign that had prior experience that wanted to go to the administration. And I was lucky to be among that handful of people.
Now, granted, being press secretary and speaking on behalf of the president is quite an important and respected job without a doubt. But when you're working for someone like President Trump, someone who's repeatedly had some problems detailing the truth in the past, your job, I'm sure, becomes much harder and open to more criticism. That being said, would you say that our current president made it more difficult for you to try and go about your work in the right way?
Wow, that's actually a really interesting question, because I think that when you hold a staff position, your job is to serve the principal as opposed to, it's not like you're a partner. I wrote this in my book, John, that he's not a traditional candidate and a traditional president. And I think as somebody who had been steeped in sort of traditional politics and government, there was a big transition, to say the least. And he clearly has a different style than the average politician. And so there's no question that the learning curve was steep, and it was just vastly different, because I tell people in my career, I sort of have been the guy who on the staff, on the team, was saying, this is our media strategy, this is our communication strategy to drive a message. In the Trump world, it's the opposite. He's the one who's driving that train, and you're along to amplify it. But it's a vastly different construct than normally exists on a campaign or in a government institution.
And, you know, building off of that, with your job involving aspects like speaking on behalf of the president and keeping American citizens informed, it was troubling from an outsider's perspective to see the current administration kind of erase the line that once existed between fact and fiction. You know, we've heard Kellyanne Conway coin the term alternative facts early in the Trump tenure, and since then it's been a constant talking point for many on both sides of the aisle. Now, as a former Trump administration member, are you at all concerned about the direction in which the truth has gone since he's taken office?
You know, look, I think President Trump there's two aspects of this. One is, he is somebody, if you go back through his career as a salesman, he's always been somebody who's used hyperbole. He talks about the greatest, the best. That's part of his style and his salesmanship. Then there's the piece that you're getting into, which is knowing and willingly, I think, misleading the American public. And I think that is an entirely different construct. Something that there were times, and I've been very clear on this, that I made mistakes. I fell short. In an effort sometimes to get out information, sometimes on an evolving situation, didn't have the most up-to-date information, or it changed and it was rapidly changing. And there's a big difference between that and coming out and blatantly trying to mislead people. And you go back through history, you know, if you look in the Obama administration, they talked about Obamacare and healthcare and keeping your doctor and keeping your plan. They talked about Benghazi being a video. So there's a question in my mind, too, about there are always issues in politics. And the question is, was it a blatant attempt to mislead people, or did people not have the appropriate facts at the time? And there is a big difference between those two.
Sean Spicer here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Sean, obviously today you're no longer the White House press secretary. You resigned back in July of 2017. You know, we've been talking about a lack of accuracy and truthfulness on the current administration's part. We've also discussed the difficulties of your former position based on that lack of truth. So is that why you decided to resign, or was there another reason why you stepped down after just 6 months on the job?
So there were a few reasons. I lived in the public eye for 6+ months, where people were watching everything I said and did. And there's no question, as I said a moment ago, that there was some moments at the beginning where I could have done a better job. And I think the water was tainted, if you will, from the beginning. And a good chunk of that's on me. And I think as I went forward with the president, we came to a point where he really wanted some fresh and new blood. We were understaffed. I had been dual-hatted 3 times as both White House press secretary and communications director. We wanted to bring in some new folks. I respected that. I encouraged the president to do that. But I think ultimately, when he had selected somebody who I didn't think I could be a good partner with, and I didn't think it was going to work out well, I said to the president, look, I respect the fact that you want some fresh blood, a break, if you will, a reset. I support that. But I think it's better that I step away and let you do this. I knew that it wasn't going to – there was no way – after what the first 6 months had been, that the curve was going to change and suddenly it was going to get tremendously better and all things were going to be great. And for both the sake of myself, my family, and for the president and the administration, it was my belief that if I stepped down and let somebody new come in, that he would have an opportunity to sort of reset, if you will, and not make it as much about me as it had become. Because ultimately, the job of a press secretary is to communicate the thoughts, ideas, policies, events, and announcements of a principal or a candidate or an official, and it's not supposed to be about them. And I think too often I had found the story was becoming about me, and that's not something that I, you know, when if I put my objective hat back on as somebody who advised people before, I would have said, this is not a good, tenable scenario for your organization going forward. And I had to be I think, fairly honest with myself about what was in the best interest of not just me, but for the country and for the president, and that was to step down.
How difficult was that for you to have to deal with the story being about you instead of the president? Again, you're just trying to do your job being the press secretary and communicating the ideas that President Trump has, and then all of a sudden, all of these stories are coming out about yourself and how you're doing your job and all of that. How did that affect you personally?
Oh, it was horribly, I mean, it was difficult, horribly difficult. I joke with people. I had probably done in my 6 years at the RNC, you know, roughly 500 plus interviews. I had rarely have ever gotten noticed or whatever, and that changed immediately in the Trump administration. And I had always known that there would be a little bit more attention brought because of the, you know, the nature of the job. But the idea that, you know, there would be skits and memes and all that kind of stuff that eventually came was not something that I anticipated, expected, or in many cases relished. At times it was extremely difficult, not just for me, but for my family. And then to your other point, the when it got to that moment, John, look, I always tell people, I joke about the fact that my upbringing in politics was like a minor league ball player. I went from campaign to campaign, city to city, wherever the next game was that I could grow my career. But to get a job like White House press secretary that, frankly, I never thought was possible. The guy at the RNC running communications, which is what I had been for 6 years, is never the person that gets selected for the press secretary job. It's always somebody from the campaign. And because of the uniqueness of the Trump campaign, I had this opportunity. But I had never in my wildest dreams thought of that. And this was literally going from playing like minor league ball, Cape Cod League, you know, kind of ball, to suddenly getting thrust into, you know, the playoffs of you know, Major League Baseball. And that was a massive and titanic shift in my life.
You know, speaking of Major League Baseball, now that you mention it, I know you're a very big Red Sox fan. You're also a big Patriots fan. So I wanted to ask you this question, and it's going to be a choice question. So it's going to be, I'm sure, a difficult one. What was the greater moment to you in Boston sports history? The Red Sox breaking the curse in 2004 and winning the World Series, or the Patriots coming back from a 28-3 deficit in the Super Bowl to win it all?
All right. Look, you're right. That's not fair. It's not easy. But I'm going to go with the Sox on this one. I mean, that was that, look, the Super Bowl was that game in Houston was by far one of the best that anybody will ever see in their lifetimes as far as a comeback goes. But for the Sox, breaking that curse was something that was spanned generations. And and I think I've been to, you know, a World Series victory at Fenway, and there's nothing that I can compare it to. So you're right. It's a tough question, but I'll go with the Sox on that one.
And finally, Sean, before we let you go here today, let's go back to February of 2017, where less than 3 weeks after you began your job as press secretary, comedian Melissa McCarthy put together a funny impersonation of you on Saturday Night Live, even winning an Emmy for it later on. What were your thoughts on McCarthy's impression, and did you find it accurate?
It's not. I mean, look, she was trying to be funny. I think she's a very talented actor. There were some parts of it. Obviously, at the beginning, I thought it was funny. If you're going to do a job like this, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. But there were obviously, I think there were a couple of times when it started to go over the line. It was a little bit more mean than funny. But as far as she goes, there's no question she is extremely talented. You know, I remember the first time that I saw that, and I really had to laugh at myself. I knew that I'd had a tough first week. I had no idea that I would be part of that skit. But, you know, I sat back and I watched it the first time, and I just laughed. And I said, you know what? You deserve this, Sean.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for joining me here today. Really appreciate the time and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
What an honor it was to welcome Sean Spicer onto today's show as we talk with him about his amazing career in politics, his time spent in the White House with President Donald Trump, plus some Boston Red Sox baseball and New England Patriots football. And what I truly appreciated about Sean during this interview was his candidness. He was very open and honest about his time in the White House, how things went, why he resigned, and what he's doing right now. And as we talked about during the interview, in which it's hard right now to get the truth, it's always great to hear the truth and hear honesty from a guest on this show. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.